but I'm surrounded by you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord leading me to this passage of Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. If you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8 through verse number 17. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Everybody say, surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Hallelujah. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Would you stretch your hand this way and pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I know that you have given me this word for such a time as this. I believe it's a now word. I believe it's a rhema word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint me to deliver it with power and conviction and with clarity. In the name of Jesus, I pray for revelation to come to me. Help me to flow in that gift today. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me to flow with you, Holy Spirit. I can do nothing in and of myself. And so I'm just making myself available, and I'm saying, "God, here I am. I am available. Work through me. You have called me, Lord, for such a time as this. Help me to flow in that anointing. I thank you. I thank you that the enemy has not been able to, he's not been able to accomplish what he sent to accomplish this week. I thank you that Satan is defeated. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. You are greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." And I pray that the Holy Ghost, Lord, send your Holy Ghost. Send the fire. Send your presence, and may it infiltrate, may it inundate, may it consume this atmosphere, and we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise for it. Thank you for surrounding us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our text tells us that the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, was making war against Israel, desiring to conquer them. How many of you know that when God starts moving, the devil's going to start attacking? In some form or some fashion, the enemy is going to rear his ugly head and begin to attack. And so they were experiencing the blessings and the favor of God, but here comes the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, representing here the spiritual warfare that goes on in the life of the child of God. No wonder the Apostle Paul tells us, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wicked schemes of the devil." The enemy's going to do whatever he can to discourage and to distract and to attack the people of God, but we've got to be prepared. We've got to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We've got to put on the whole armor of God and be ready for this attack. We know it's coming. We know the enemy's going to fight, but do you have the armor of God on today, church? Do you have it on? However, as our faithful God always does, he had a plan to protect his people in spite of the attacks. How many of you know that God knows what's going on? He knows what the enemy's trying to do. He sees the attacks of the enemy. God has a plan to thwart the attack of the enemy. God kept giving prophetic insight about the king of Syria's plans to the prophet named Elisha. Elisha would warn the king of Israel, thus avoiding the surprise attacks from the Syrians. Needless to say, Elisha had become a major nuisance he had become a major thorn in the side of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And when the king found out his losses were Elisha's doing, he put a price on the prophet's head and developed plans to capture him. The king made one huge mistake in this pursuit of Elisha. Elisha wasn't really who Ben-Hadad was fighting against. He was fighting against God. How many of you know that if you've got Jesus Christ residing on the inside of you today, anybody know that you've got Jesus on the inside of you? Raise your hand if you know that Jesus is there. How many of you know that when Satan comes against you, he's really not coming against you? He's coming against the God who resides on the inside of you. And the last time I checked, I hope the last time you checked, there's never been a time that the devil's won that match. There's never been a time that the enemy has been able to overcome God. I'm here to tell somebody and remind somebody here this morning, you have the God of all creation residing on the inside of you, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let the devil attack. Let him roar. Hallelujah. Let him do what he wants to do. But I'm telling you, there's a God who's greater, and you're an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So keep on praising him. Keep on worshiping him. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Be not discouraged in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, somebody help me praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, it's important to note that when Satan comes to fight against the child of God, he's really fighting against the Lord. He's fighting against God. That ought to be a comfort to you and I today. No one, and I repeat, no one, let me say it one more time, has ever been able to defeat God. They never will be able to. He always wins the victory. It may look like that you're going to lose. It may look like that you might as well go ahead and count your losses, but it ain't over until God says it's over. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it ain't over until God says it's over. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Elisha and his servant are in Dothan at this time. It's early in the morning, and Elisha's servant began doing his morning chores, probably trying to clean out some of those early cobwebs out of his eyes, you know, just trying to wake up. You know how it is when you're trying to wake up in the mornings. Perhaps he was feeding the animals. I don't know what all he was doing, his chores. Maybe he was putting some water in the bucket and getting ready to bring it back into the house, fulfilling his daily responsibilities. But something is not quite right on this morning. Maybe the early birds and the other critters are not making their normal noises. There in the morning haze stands. He looks out over the horizon, and there in that morning haze, he begins to see an army of people who have surrounded the entire area with spears and bows locked and loaded. Immediately, fear and doom and destruction gripped the heart of this servant. Have you ever been there in your own life? All of a sudden, something takes place and fear begins to grip your heart. It may be a phone call. It was a phone call for me this week, and it just fear just gripped my heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, something changes, and the enemy tries to bring fear, and he tries to bring intimidation, and he tries to bring a sense of discouragement. But I'm here to tell somebody here today, you may be surrounded by circumstances. You may be surrounded by the enemy, but I'm telling you, you're also surrounded by a God who's greater than your enemy, and greater than your circumstances, and greater than your problems, and greater than your worries and your anxieties and your depression. There's a God who is bigger than all of that. Somebody shout, God is bigger. God is bigger. He's bigger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the enemy seeks to intimidate and fill your heart with fear. He doesn't want you to see anything else but what's in front of you. He doesn't want you to see the big picture. He wants you just to focus on the trees instead of being able to see the forest. And God is trying to open up our eyes so that we can see the big picture. That this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we consider that the present sufferings of this world are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, God's trying to help us see the bigger picture, to open up our eyes and understand that God is at work even when it seems like He's not. Even when you get that bad report from the doctor, and even when you get that disturbing phone call, and even when the kids are not they're not acting the way that you see they ought to be acting, and they're not living their life the way that they should in your eyes. Can I just tell somebody here today, it ain't over yet. You got to keep your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. God knows what He's doing, and you've got to trust Him in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah. The servant ran back into the house and told Elisha what he had seen. The servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" That's probably toned down way too much. I need to get a little bit more energetic there. "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" That's a little bit better, isn't it? Because he thought this was the end. The end of the road is near. Our lives are about to be over, Elisha. In case you haven't noticed, there's an entire army outside waiting to pounce on us, to take us out. I know it's easier said than done at times, but we must be careful in the events of life to not overreact and let our emotions dictate our decision making. That's a word for somebody here today. We must be careful not to let our emotions get out of control and dictate our decision-making. Because if you make a decision in those emotional moments, most of the time, it's not going to be a good one. You've got to calm down. You've got to wrap your mind around this thing and pray for wisdom and make some sense out of it, right? Our emotions can fool us, and it's important not to let emotions rule the day. No wonder the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, we are not to walk by our feelings, because our feelings can get in the way and lead us down a path that will not be healthy for us. And so cool, calm, and collective Elisha, he just tried to calm his servant down. How many of you know that if you've got peace on the inside, that will release peace on the outside? If you've got peace on the inside, it will release peace on the outside. If you've got a calmness on the inside, it will release a calmness on the outside. If you've ever just been in those situations where somebody was just all beside themselves and all bent out of shape, and they were just, an emotional wreck. And then they get around somebody else and they're just like, "It's going to be okay." There's a calmness there that, how many know that can move over onto that person and help calm them down? You can calm that coworker down. You can de-escalate situations real quick by just staying calm. I've learned over the years in pastoral ministry not to overreact when things happen. Sometimes I still struggle with it, but just not to get too messed up about something right away. Just take a step back. Because God's at work, even in the midst of the storm. You know what I'm talking about? Take a step back. So Elisha stays calm. Perhaps you feel like this young servant surrounded by circumstances and situations that you have no control over. Perhaps you feel as if the enemy is surrounding you and he's breathing hard down your neck. I believe God has directed me to tell somebody here today this simple but yet profound truth. Do not fear. You hear it over and over and over in the scripture. Do not fear. Do not fear, because I have things under control. I see what the enemy's doing. I see the lies that he's whispering to you. I see how he's trying to attack your family and attack your body and attack the church and attack your world of influence. I see what's going on. I see what he's doing, but you are my special treasure and I have your best interest at heart. So trust me right in the middle of it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. I will direct your path. Why do we need not to fear? Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Isn't that comforting? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Why do we not need to fear? Because Psalm 27 says it like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me. There it is. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Somebody help me praise the Lord. This I will be confident that God is with us. Isaiah 43 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the floods, through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. He said, and when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame scorch you. Neither shall the flame be kindled upon you. Somebody needs to understand today that God is with you. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. That's all right. Give him a hand clap of praise. I can just picture this servant trying to impress upon Elisha the seriousness of this situation, because Elisha doesn't seem to be feeling it like he is. He's just not seeing it from his perspective. And I think Elisha's probably thinking the same thing. This young man is not seeing it from my perspective either. Because Elisha saw something totally different. Perspective makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Perspective. We've all heard I'm assuming all of us have heard the imagery of whether the glass is half empty or half full. Right? Which one is it? Well, it all depends on your perspective. This one's neither. This one's below half. But anyway, it's all about perspective. I try to be an optimist. How about you? I try to be positive. But that doesn't deny reality either, does it? You can't just stick your head in the sand and say that your circumstances are not reality, because they are. Your circumstances are reality. What you're facing is reality. Your physical condition is reality. That's what's reality in your life. You see, Elisha came over to survey the situation and said, you know what? To his servant, you're exactly right. There is an army surrounding us. And we can say the same thing. Yes, I am facing circumstance. There is a financial situation. There is a situation in my marriage. There is a situation in my relationships. There is a situation with my kids. There is a situation with these bills. It's reality, right? But God. This is from a spiritual perspective in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins, walked according to the prince of this world, the power there that works in the spirit of and the sons of disobedience. But in verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. I don't care how bad it looks, but God. When God steps in, God can change it all in just a matter of moments. Hallelujah. But God, the same God who saved us spiritually by grace, are you saved through faith that we read right there in Ephesians chapter 2, the same God who saves us spiritually will also save us physically, who will also provide for us, who will also protect us, who will also keep the enemy at bay, who will also put the enemy to flight. I'm here to tell somebody here today, let the devil roar. Let him do what he wants to do, but greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but resist him steadfast in the faith. You're an overcomer. Elisha looked at him and said, wait a minute. What you're showing me is real, but you need to look a little deeper. You need to look a little deeper, servant, because I see another army. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I see another army. I see another army. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I see another army. And he said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to raise a hallelujah in the house. Those who are for you are more than those who are against you. Matter of fact, I need to tell somebody right here, if everybody is for you, you better take some inventory real quick, because if Jesus didn't have everybody on his side, what makes you think you're going to have everybody on yours? Sometimes we get disillusioned with thinking that everybody's going to be your friend. No, everybody's not going to be your friend. There's some people that are going to stab you in the back. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You keep your eyes on Jesus and keep loving people and pray for your enemies. Don't pray ill will on them. Pray the love of Jesus on them. Amen. That's a word for somebody here today. He said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant was still having a hard time seeing what Elijah was seeing, seeing it from his perspective. Have you ever been there with that kind of frustration trying to explain to somebody what you're seeing from your perspective, and they just don't seem to get it? And then you try to use different words to say the same thing, just hoping maybe that will get through. Well, I believe that Elisha was maybe experiencing that a little bit. He was trying to explain what he was able to see, but he got to the point where his words were not sufficient enough. And so what he basically said is, Lord, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to open his eyes. You're going to have to show him what he needs to see, because I can't do it. I've taken him as far as I can take him. There comes a time in our lives when we can't take people. We can't take people to the place we want them to go. We have to pray for the Lord to do his work. We have to pray for the Spirit of God to open their eyes and see what they need to see. And so he said, Lord, in verse 17, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That makes me think of Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around all about them that fears him and delivers them. Do you realize that the angels of the Lord have been dispatched right now? They're in this place. They're watching over us. They're watching over you. They're watching over me. Oh, glory to God. Somebody ought to praise the Lord for that right now. The protection of the angels of God. When you get in your car today and when you leave here, I believe the angel of the Lord encamps around all around about them that fears him and delivers them. Even when you're not thinking about, oh, he's got angels that he's dispatched for you. Hallelujah. It all starts with prayer. Elisha prayed. We will never experience the supernatural manifestation of God's power until we pray with confidence and pray with passion and pray with purity. We will never see the miraculous until we tap into the power of prayer. No doubt Elisha had learned the power of prayer from his predecessor, Elijah, whom had put upon him the double portion of his spirit, right? Remember that? When Elijah left, There was a double portion of his spirit that was transferred over to Elijah. And the Bible says in James 5 and 17 that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth produced its fruit. Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has a lot of power behind it. We've got to get back, church, to praying on a regular, consistent basis. Not just on Sundays, but every day seeking the face of God. I'm telling you, miracles come through prayer. The Bible says that the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. He opened the eyes of the young man and he saw the mountain was full of chariots and horses all around Elisha. Hallelujah. What a difference that made when you see things through God's eyes. When God opens your eyes. How many know when God opens your eyes? When God opens your eyes, there is an encouragement that rises up in your spirit. There's a faith. There's a faith that is demonstrated in your life. I'm going to pray even when I don't feel like praying. I'm going to come to church even when I don't feel like coming to church. I'm going to give even when I feel like, how am I going to make it? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give and I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to pray for my enemies even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to pray for my husband. I'm going to pray for my wife even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to serve them even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you completely sell out to Jesus Christ and you get serious about serving Him, there's no doubt that the warfare will increase. I've had my share of warfare this week. It ain't no fun sometimes, I promise you that. You probably had your fair share as well. You know, life itself is challenging. It's challenging. And we're living in a day and an hour when evil is abounding more and more. And my heart just breaks for, you know, we become so desensitized to all that's going on in our world. How many shootings are we going to have? And it's just like, God, there's people burying their kids. What if that was your child? It would be important then, wouldn't it? And I'm saying, God, help us not to become desensitized and lose our compassion and lose our care for people. People are lost and they need Jesus. People are hurting and they need Jesus. They need to know that somebody cares. And where is the church in all of this? Where is the church in the world today? It's time for us to rise up and be the church. Our eyes need to be opened. God, wake us up out of our spiritual slumber. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a church that's on fire for Him, that's not asleep, but alert and vibrantly praying and seeking His face and making a difference in the world they live, making a difference in their neighborhood, making a difference in their community, making a difference to let people know there's a God who loves you and who cares. Aren't you thankful that even though the sin increases, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Hallelujah. So when evil increases, the grace of God is going to increase. Somebody ought to help me praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. He said, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is coming to get His church. He's going to get us out of here before the tribulation begins. I know some people believe differently, and that's okay. That's totally up to them. But I don't believe that God's going to let his church go through the tribulation. I believe we're going through tribulation now. We're going through it now, and it's getting worse, and it's intensifying more and more. But those who keep their eyes on Jesus and they endure to the end, the Bible says they will be saved. So I'm here to tell the church of God this morning, you can't give up now. You cannot stop pressing forward now. You got to keep pressing like you've never pressed before. Press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Eternal life is waiting on you. Heaven is waiting on us. We cannot stop now. You've come too far. Tell your neighbor, you've come too far to turn back now. You got to keep pressing on. Hallelujah. You didn't tell your neighbor. Tell him. Press on in the name of Jesus. You've come too far to turn back now. Hallelujah. Pastor Tommy's coming. I want to remind you of Romans 8, and we sang it this morning. One of my favorite passages. What shall we then say to these things? Think about all the things that's happening in the world around us, happening in your life, happening in the family. What shall we say to all these things? Is it throw in the towel and quit? It's too much for me to handle. Tired of fighting it. Is that what the scripture says? Oh. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. If God be for us, then who can be against us? I got a question for you this morning. Do you know that God is for you? Raise your hand if you know that God is for you. If God is for you, then who can be against you? Hallelujah. I said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And no wonder he said in verse 31, he goes on to say, neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities. You know what principalities are, right? Evil spirits. Well, they're working overtime these days. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, fallen angels who came with Satan out of the rebelling against God from heaven. Neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So I'm just telling you this morning, church, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. You've got a hope that is steadfast and sure. Hallelujah. I have an anchor that will endure. Yes, my anchor holds beyond the grave. Hallelujah. Because his name is Jesus Christ. And if the spirit of him who raised him from the dead dwells inside of you and me, our resurrection time is coming. I said our resurrection time is coming. Hallelujah. If in this life only we have hope. We're of all men most miserable, and I'm so thankful. My hope goes beyond this life. Aren't you thankful for that, Sister Micah? It goes beyond this life. Hallelujah. So you can lift up your head. You can put a smile on your face. Victory is mine. Come on, would you stand with me and lift your hands? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. All because of Jesus. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Victory. Victory. Would you come and join me in this altar this morning? I'm just asking you to... I'm just asking to pray this morning, Lord, open my eyes. And whatever else the Lord leads you to pray, open my eyes that I may see that you are surrounding me. You're surrounding my life, my marriage. You're surrounding my home. You're surrounding this church. You're surrounding the Biltmore Church of God. Hallelujah. You're surrounding us today. You're fighting with us and you're fighting for us. Why don't you come and join me in this altar this morning? Lord, open my eyes to see what you want me to see, what you want me to do, how you want me to respond, how you want me to flow in your spirit, God. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, Lord. Hallelujah. Open my eyes to what I'm doing to myself. I'm hurting myself by some of the decisions that I'm making. Lord Jesus, I repent of that, and I'm asking you to forgive me, God. I turn that over to you. Open my eyes, God. Hallelujah. Help me to see what you want me to see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Open my eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I sense the Spirit of the Lord moving in a great way in this place. Open my eyes, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands all over this sanctuary and receive from the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Open my eyes. Come on, tell him. Open my eyes, Lord. Hallelujah. There are more for me than there are who against me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Humble, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Keep bringing yourself to the Lord in prayer.
Open the eyes.
Seek his face. Lift up a praise in the middle of the storm.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open my eyes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your work in this place.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Pour out your power in this house.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to see
you, Lord.
I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to see you.
Praise you, Jesus.
I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted.
To see you high and lifted up.
Would you give God praise for me for what he's done in this place today? Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for what he has done for Tim this morning. I'm going to let him tell it to you in his own words, what God did for him.
I just felt God wanted me to come down here, and this was the day to do it. I didn't rush it. I said it'll happen when it happens, and it happened. It happened today, and I feel, I don't know how to describe it, but thank God. Thankfully, he's in my life, and he's going to stay there. But he brought me down here. He brought me down here.
He said, the Lord brought me down here, and I just felt like I needed to surrender my life to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's not running anymore from God.
This is the first day for the rest of my life.
This is the first day for the rest of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are going to be praying for Tim? You going to be praying for him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the work of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We give you praise. You know the angels of God are rejoicing in heaven right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I just want to remind you that we do have Bible study this evening. I'm leading a series on our declaration of faith on what living what we believe. We're on the third article of our declaration of faith, so I want to encourage you. If you're able to come at 5 p.m., we'd love to have you be a part of that series. How many of you know it's important to know what you believe and to live what you believe? Not only know it, but to live it. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Now, you may be seated just for a moment. Just a couple things I wanted to run by you. I wanted to let you know that in our centennial booklet that we gave out last week, Sister Clara Bryant pointed out to me there was a story there that was not an accurate story, and so she about her husband in the truck or the car, whatever it says there. I just wanted to let you know that she wanted me to let you know that that was not an accurate story, and we apologize that that is misinformation there. So if you would like to know what the real story is, Sister Clara will tell you that story. So if you'll just see her, she'll give you the details on that. I just want to make you aware of that. Also, you may have heard on the news about a series of crimes that's taken place in our area, in Western North Carolina and upstate South Carolina, of people coming into churches and they're actually stealing the catalytic converters off of vans and buses. And we were a victim of that very thing this week, unfortunately. And it was right before, it was Wednesday night it happened. And so I didn't find out about it till late Thursday evening. And our kids were going to be taking the van. So I just happened to start it up because Donovan and Kathleen and I were going down here to this trailer park on Thursday evening to do some witnessing and started up the van, and it sounded like a race car. It was so loud, I thought, something's definitely not right. So I crawled underneath it, and the catalytic converter had been sawed off. So anyway, we're keeping an eye on things in the parking lot every week. Our security team is looking at that for your assurance, just to let you know that we're keeping an eye on things going on while your car is parked here, to let you know that. But it's the day and hour in which we live in, unfortunately. And I just want to let you know about it, and we're going to get the van fixed as soon as we can. I've got the new catalytic converter ordered. It'll be put on this week. So let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Yes. Absolutely. Would you come and stand in for her? If you didn't hear that, he would like for us to pray for Heidi. She's on a different medication, and we're praying that this will work in her life. Father, we just anoint Tommy in the name of Jesus, standing in Heidi's stead right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we agree in prayer. Oh, God, that you would touch her, Lord. You know the need in her body, soul, and spirit. Father, we intercede. We stand in the gap for her. Yes, we do trust you, Lord. We believe for you to minister to her. Lord, you see the burden of Tommy's heart, Lord, and we just agree with him in prayer, and we stand in the gap with him for your power to be at work and for a miracle to take place. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, and we give you the honor. Thank you for this service this morning, Lord, and thank you for moving in our midst. Help us to remember that there's more for us than there are against us. Help us to walk in your favor, walk in your love, and be encouraged today. In your mighty and precious name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Be sure to read.